Let me gather us together around the reading of God's Word today, and it's in the book of Luke, chapter 12. Book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. As I said, the church takes a unfair hit from the world about hypocrisy, and it could look to someone who does not understand what it's like to battle consistently against sin that here we are proclaiming that we are in love with Christ, and yet we go out into the world and we do some of the very same things that they do. And that's what I hope that I can give to you this day in a manner that will help you understand the difference between what a true hypocrite is and what a person who is battling against sin is. This particular section of Scripture, just to set it in context, comes on the heels of Jesus having a supper date with a Pharisee. And the Pharisee gave Jesus criticism for not going through the ritual cleansing and washing of hands. And so Jesus, whether he said it publicly or whether he said it in private teaching, he really goes off on this Pharisee for really hypocrisy. I heard one guy say one time, you know, if I was at that dinner, you know, it'd probably be like maybe some situation you've been put into in certain places in your life where you just sort of like push your food around the plate and you're looking down on it like this, you know, while Jesus is going off explanation. And it may have made us uncomfortable if we had been there. But in light of what happened at that particular dinner there, Jesus now has an opportunity to speak to his disciples. Jesus was very hard on the leadership of the nation of Israel, and he was especially hard upon them because of the position that they held and how easy it was for them, because of their position of influence and power, to actually act like leaven, as he describes it here. If you remember, leaven is that which makes bread rise. And for leaven to make bread rise, it's mixed into the dough, and then that dough is set aside for a certain period of time for it to rise, for the leaven to do its work. And so that leaven actually permeates that mound of dough in order to accomplish its work. And so he labels hypocrisy here as the leaven of the Pharisees, and he gave a specific command to his disciples to be aware of that. And here he's set in a situation where there are thousands of people there, and I do want you to take note that he addressed his disciples first. But what is hypocrisy? Well, one of the things that hypocrisy is not a genuine struggle with sin. Kevin DeYoung writes that the hypocrite is not the Christian who struggles against sin, fights against temptation, and keeps doing what is right, even on his worst feeling days. He said that's a hero. The hypocrite is the Christian who uses the veneer of public virtue to cover the rot of private vice. So Jesus called the Pharisees the hypocritical leadership as I said, that leaven that permeates. So how did it permeate? As I said, that their teaching came from a place of respect. He said that in other parts of Scripture, he says they sit on the seat of Moses. Now, what did he mean by that? They sat in a place of authority. To put it in perspective, this pulpit is granted within the church as a place of authority. And so those who come to this pulpit and to deliver messages, they act on the authority of the Word of God with which they preach. It is not human authority. It is the authority of the Word of God with which they preach. And so the Pharisees sitting in the seat of Moses delivered the law to the people. And so their place and position of authority came from the word that they were delivering to the people. And that is how that influence became more prominent within the congregation, if you will, of the day, because the Pharisees were seen as the religious elite. Maybe you've seen some folks in church that you really look up to, and maybe you've even made the remark of, man, I wish my life could look like this person or that person, or I wish I could approach life the way this person or that person approaches life. And so you have a tendency to look up to people that you perceive as being someone who may be higher up the ladder, if you will, if that's a good way of describing it, higher up the ladder of religious maturity, of spiritual maturity, I should say, as you are. And so we have to be careful, especially if we reach certain levels of maturity, that we don't begin to act as the Pharisees did. Because Jesus said that that leaven of hypocrisy was so dangerous because it leads people astray so easily. Spurgeon said that if you know that a man is a hypocrite, you do not feel inclined to imitate him. But the Pharisees were such well-made hypocrites, such excellent counterfeits, that many people were tempted to imitate them. If we are looking, if we hold an individual within the church in high esteem, then the way that that person behaves, the way that that person speaks, the way that that person acknowledges the presence of God in their life begins to have an impact on our lives, whether we think about it or not. Because we think from our level of less maturity that this is how we should act when we reach that level of maturity that they're at. And so that was the influence of the Pharisees. They were such well-made hypocrites, as Spurgeon called them, that they could go out and the people looked at them and like, you know, well, that's God. You know, that's how God wants us to act, is the way that these men go out and the piousness that they have and how well that they act and they tithe and they do all of these things and they pray so grandly in public. And sometimes when you hear certain people pray, it's just like, I heard one guy describe it sometimes when a certain person prayed, it's just like heaven opens up, you know, when that person prays. And you just feel like the power of God. And so that's what was going on here in Israel when these men, so-called men of God, would be out publicly and they would have these great prayers and they would have these great actions and they would separate from all that was evil, and they took such a tedious task of being sure that they did everything exactly according to the law. And so they had a great big influence on the congregation there. And that's why Jesus gave them such a hard time, as we'll see here in just a moment. A pastor confided to me, there was a religious leader, a very well-respected religious leader, that he looked up to. This religious leader was all over the internet giving defenses of the Christian faith. People would ask him very hard questions and he would answer them so precisely, and it was just a wonder to watch him minister in these crowds. They would come to hear him preach and to speak and to defend the gospel message. And he said, I looked up to him so. And it just devastated the Christian world when it came to light that this man was caught up in a in a very sinful practice, and he fell from grace, and it became known after his death just how extensive he was caught up in this very sinful practice. We struggle sometimes, and that's why I started to give you his name, but that's why I didn't want to give you his name. Because we struggle sometimes within the church to really know if this man or this woman that had all of the outside appearances of being a devout child of God, and then all of a sudden these things may be discovered about them. Was that just a sin that this person had such a hard time overcoming? Were they struggling trying to overcome it, and now what we're hearing about there is more of their failures than maybe the internal struggle that they had to overcome it? And that's what is so hard in talking about hypocrisy. And so we need to get a little further down into exactly what was going on with the Pharisees here to hopefully have a little better understanding of, am I a hypocrite? Am I struggling with hypocrisy? Or is my struggle just with sins in my life that are hard to overcome? The Bible talks about two types of hypocrisy. The hypocrisy of the Pharisees neglected the inside while they polished the outside. I'm going to read to you fairly extensive here, three verses in Matthew, but this gives you an idea of the challenge and the criticism, the harsh criticism that Jesus had for the Pharisees and why. This is from Matthew 23, and it says, "Woe," this is Jesus speaking, "woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," pretty plain, "for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Wow. You imagine standing before Jesus and he just lets go on you like that? Your thought for today is the church functions best when we live in openness before the Lord. The church functions best when we live in openness before the Lord. And what was going on inside the Pharisees' lives is that they were not living in openness before the Lord. They were not living in openness before the people. That true relationship with Christ works from the inside out. True relationship leads to becoming more and more Christ-like. We never stop working on the inside. Remember that illustration I gave you about the dentist telling me that people pay more attention to the teeth that people can see versus the teeth that people can't see? Remember I told you about that? They spend a lot more time cleaning and polishing what is given to the world versus what actually does the work of preparing the food so that it can be more beneficial to the body. What prepares the food of the kingdom for the child of God? It's not this. It's not that plate that sits out there. It's not how beautiful your voice is. All of those things enhance the growth of the kingdom. All of those things enhance the church. But what prepares us to be fed by the food that Jesus offers us, the grace that comes down to us, and the Word of God that is delivered to us, is our heart. And we say heart, but it's our mind. And when we are in a, and we should be in a constant state of trying to work on that which delivers God's goodness to us. Our problem comes in, and what the Pharisees were guilty of and what made their lifestyle fit the definition of hypocrisy is that they neglected the work of the inner man and they directed their focus more upon the work of the outer man. When you saw a Pharisee at the IGA and you left that conversation, you're like, there's a godly man. But inside, he's working out ways how to cheat, how to deceive, how to not do the things that the law requires. He may have lust within his heart that he's not even attempting to remove. He may have other forms of evil within his heart that he's not taking to God, that he's not repenting of. And that's how you work on the inner man. Because when that inner man starts to be strengthened, then that's going to come out into the outward acts. It's going to come out in expressions of true love that we have for others. It's going to come out in actions of glorifying God. What does that mean? Making God look good. And so our lives then make God look good when our inner souls are being worked on each day. When our desire is to become more and more like Christ and not to follow our own desires, not to give our own desires priority, but look to suppress those as we seek to follow the teachings of Christ, the lifestyle of Christ. And so a true hypocrite then is in total neglect of that inner person. And they are so focused on making that outward appearance shine. The second type of hypocrisy here is improper judging. And that's what gives the church so much confusion about what Jesus says, "Judge not, lest you be judged." I knew a man one time, that was his favorite expression. He said, "I know, judge not, lest you be judged, but..." I know we're not supposed to judge, but... We are to judge, folks. Let me just go ahead and get that out there. What makes it sinful is a false sense of self-righteousness. True judging is spiritual discernment, where when our inner man becomes more and more like Christ, we become more and more aware of what sin is, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those around us. But it comes with a humility that we know that we are battling against sin the same way as that person is battling against sin. And as I shared with the children today, the purpose of the church is to wrap our arms around each other, to encourage each other, because it comes from a shared need that all of us have of God's grace and forgiveness. But what we have a tendency to become, and it appears in our arguments that we have with those in close relationship with us, it appears in how we glorify ourselves. When we look at others and we justify our actions and our lives by saying, "I'm not that bad." Or when we bring up in our arguments with our loved ones, "That's just the way that you are," implying I'm not. And we have a tendency to bring that kind of thinking into the church. And that kind of thinking into the church disrupts what the purpose of the church is. And as I shared with those children, the purpose of the church is to encourage. It's to bring comfort. It's to love. It's not to ignore the sin that is in others, but it is to help them overcome the sin that is in their lives. But it comes from a place of mutual need, as I said, when we realize that we have a log within our eyes before we start nitpicking at a splinter that may be in someone else's eye. I heard someone say one day, how many toothpicks can you make out of a log? And so if we're focusing on a toothpick that's in somebody else's eye, know that over time, those little splinters that we see so well in other people's lives accumulate in our own hearts, to the point that Jesus says, if you want to help somebody else, as he says in Matthew 7, why do you seek the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, there's that word again. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So spiritual discernment is not hypocritical, because we need to judge sin rightly. What Jesus called hypocritical there was a false sense of self-righteousness, where we overlook what's happening here and we sinfully judge another to the point of comparison. And all we're seeking is self-justification, that my life is not as bad as fill in the blank. What does that do? That keeps us from opening our hearts and our lives before the Lord. What's your thought for today? We live in openness before the Lord so the church can function the way that it's intended to. When we're comparing ourselves to others, that guy, that girl, that man, that woman, that person, that leader, that whatever, and I'm not like that, I'm thankful for that, what are we doing? We're comparing our lives to that person, and so we're comparing, as I said in Wednesday night at some particular point in time, you know, we're comparing different types of stink. You know, I don't stink as bad as over here. And so I can feel better about myself. Jesus called that type of thinking hypocritical, because we are, again, ignoring the inner man, the inner woman, because we just want to polish that outside. We want to make that outside look so good because I'm not like them. And Jesus says that's a false sense of self-righteousness. But spiritual discernment, folks, is needed. So note that in your heart. Spiritual discernment, a right sense of sin is needed. A right awareness of sin is needed. The seriousness of living in hypocrisy is what Jesus gets to in verses 2 and 3. And notice, what did he do here? There were large crowds, so much so that they were just stepping on each other. Did you catch that? Thousands of people had gathered together that they were trampling one another. And so we say crowds are so large, they're just stepping all over each other. And Jesus looked at that crowd and he looked at his disciples. And who did he talk to first? His disciples. He didn't address that crowd first. He came to his disciples. You wonder, maybe wonder, why did he do that? Here were people that had gathered. They wanted to hear every word that he had to say, wanted to check this guy out. And there were so many that they were walking all over each other. And he takes his disciples and he addresses them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. How easy is it to get caught up when there are crowds coming? Jesus knew what these men were going to be called to do. They were going to go out and plant churches. They were going to go out and be pastors. They were going to go out and be those who encouraged, who spread God's word, who started Christianity within this world. And these are the men that he was going to give that task to. Be careful of your hearts, guys, because it's so easy to be caught up in spiritual pride and self-importance when there are people who come, who pay attention to you, who want to hear you. And so Satan is easy to come, easy to fill you with a false sense of pride, a false sense of importance. He knew very well that his disciples were capable of hypocrisy, and the Spirit's purpose of preserving these words of Jesus in the book that we read this day, our Bibles, is to remind us that we're very capable of these things as well. Especially up here in their ministries, when thousands and thousands of people come, or hundreds and hundreds of people come. Had one minister, again, I won't give you his name, he stepped aside from his ministry for a while. Very respected minister. I read a lot of his stuff. And he stepped aside from his ministry, and he was open and honest about it, because he felt spiritual pride creeping in, because his church had grown so. And he felt spiritual pride, and he stepped aside from it to what? Focus on the inner man. Because God had instilled within him the awareness that if you're not working on that inner man every day, then that outer man will fail. Let me repeat that. If you're not working on that inner man every day, the outer man will fail. And the Spirit convicted him of the need that his inner man had, because it was being led down a path of spiritual pride because of what he saw before him every day, because of what publishers were telling him, of the people reading his books, of all of the video and all of the guest speaking that he was called to do. And it was filling him with a sense of spiritual pride that he then, by the Spirit's conviction, realized that he is going in the wrong direction. And so here's Jesus gathering his 12 to him and said, guys, work on that inner man. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't show the world one face and neglect what's going on inside of you. Because to accomplish the purposes that I have for you, you need to work on that inner man every day. And those of you in spiritual positions, in union, in leadership positions, whether you stand in front of a group, whether you head a committee, whether you serve in whatever function, if you're not working on that inner man every day, then you're going to give the devil a foothold. And you're going to begin to neglect the service that God has called you to and that you have agreed to serve in. And that is not a good place to be. And so every day we work on that spiritual part of us. And that keeps us from hypocrisy. Because hypocrisy is neglecting the inner man while we polish the outer man. And it's using our places of leadership and influence to take others in the church to places they don't need to be taken. Whether it is neglecting our students, if we're a Sunday school teacher, whether it's neglecting our preparation, if we're a Sunday school teacher, our means of service, our leadership, our outward means of service. All of those things can get neglected if that inner man's needs are not being addressed every day. Why do you think every Sunday, I don't think I've missed many, if at all, I pray that prayer? You probably got it memorized. Be with our families, our hearts, homes, and pews, so that we can keep the evil one and his influence away. Because every day we are faced with that battle. And Jesus knew how important it was for his disciples that they work on that inner man. If you are aware of the sin within you and you are working every day to overcome it and you fall off the wagon, whatever that wagon is, that's not being hypocritical, folks. That's being aware. You're working on your spiritual discernment, and it starts inside as well. And when we have a grasp of what's going on inside of us, then we can start seeing what's outside of us better. But if we're working to overcome that every day, you're not walking in hypocrisy. But if you're neglecting that inner man and you're trying to work on the outside so that people see you in church and you sing loud and you give money and you volunteer and they see you all over town doing stuff and you're neglecting the inner man, that is what Jesus called hypocrisy. An open, a willing, perpetual neglect of the inner man while polishing the outside. So that's not where we need to be. But Christ gives us that way. The grace that we have through His completed work, that we place our faith in Him. And He's promised to help us overcome the sin that's in our lives. And that is working to become Christ-like. And when we fail, it's not hypocrisy. It's working to become more and more like Christ. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray that these words from your word will find their mark on the lives and hearts of those who come this day, that we will be able to know within our own lives if we are walking in hypocrisy or if we are walking in obedience with frail human strength. Father, we know that your Spirit gives to us the grace that we need to be transformed by your Spirit, by your Word, by your truth. May we walk in that spirit. May we work to bring our inner man into obedience to you, into being transformed into Christ's likeness within our lives. We thank you that you've paved the way. May we all take advantage of that through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.